I'm Anthony Wright, and I'm your host today on Attunement, and I'm talking today with my guest Echo Boudin.
God communicates to us through our psychic abilities. God communicates to us through our intuition. We communicate with each other on a psychic level, which is mental telepathy, which is a form of clairaudience. People have these gifts. They use their gifts all the time, but they don't understand that this is what they're doing.
Echo Boudin is a renowned psychic, spiritual teacher, and healer. She is the author of several books about psychic and spiritual phenomena, including Echoes of the Soul, Hands That Heal, A Still Small Voice, Relax, It's Only a Ghost, and Dear Echo. Echo lectures widely on life after death, living by intuition, and developing psychic abilities. Welcome, Echo.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Echo is from my hometown, Minneapolis.
That's right.
How long have you been a psychic, Echo?
I am currently 58 years old, and I discovered at the age of 17 that I was born with these gifts. So?
17.
Yeah, so let's see, almost 40 years. Mm-hmm.
And when did you start actually working for pay?
Oh, that's a good question. You know what I did, Anthony, is I took psychic development classes. I went on to the University of Minnesota for a few years. I was a barber for a few years and also a chemical dependency counselor for a little while. And what I did was I had mainstream jobs, but I practiced my psychic abilities on the side. And I practiced for about 12 years before I actually became full-time as a psychic and spiritual healer. So I started, as a full-time psychic when I was about 30 years old. So it's been about 27 years, 28 years.
How did you know you were psychic?
You know what? One of my brothers had an experience where he saw a spirit, and that led my mom to call a medium in town in the Twin Cities, and the medium was the one that told my mom that I was born with, she actually told me, I went to her for a reading, she said that I was born with all of these abilities. And you know, Anthony, at the time I said to the woman, I don't have any of this stuff.
This is in 1965.
It was in 1965. And I said, I don't have any of this stuff. And she said that I had all four of the psychic abilities, that I was born with the gift of healing, that I would one day be a well-known psychic healer, that I would write books, be on TV and radio, and I'd travel around the country and teach people how to develop their abilities. And I just stared at this woman, and I said, really, I don't have any of this stuff. And she said, the problem is you just don't understand what I'm even talking about. She said, you don't know what these gifts are. And you know, I think that's pretty true of all of us, that we look at psychics on TV like Cleo, you know, the fortune teller Cleo, or we look at other psychics on TV, the ones that maybe look a little goofy, a little different, and we think, well, I'm not like that person, so I couldn't have their kind of abilities. So it took a long time for me to, well, not a long time, but it took me a while to understand exactly what are psychic abilities and how do they work in my life and how do I use these for other people.
So what percentage of the population would you say is actually psychic and may or may not know it?
I would say, boy, you know what, that's kind of like asking me what the percentage of population is that could play the piano. Yeah, because we all can play the piano if we feel led to do it, okay?
So you're saying actually everyone is psychic if
everybody
they care to develop that.
Yep, everybody has the abilities. Everybody has the potential to develop their psychic abilities. Mm-hmm.
That's quite profound, actually.
You have a very curious look on your face.
Well, yet that's one of the things in our culture that we're really conditioned about being resistant to, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Very much resistant. And it's really too bad. This is definitely one of the areas where I believe religion has let us down. Because You know, Anthony, people say to me all the time, they've said it to me my whole life as a psychic, you know, how can you do these things and call yourself a Christian? These abilities are evil. They come from Satan. But you know what I did about three years ago? I sat down and I said, okay, I'm going to go through the Bible and I'm going to find all this stuff. And I went through the Old Testament and I went through the New Testament, and I was very surprised to see how much support there is in the New Testament about the gift of prophecy. That's what it's called in the Bible. Did you know that in the original Bible, the word psychic isn't even in there? People don't know that.
Right.
Okay? People think that the word psychic is in there all the time because that's what we're taught. Psychic abilities are evil. But here's what's interesting. The Old Testament, first of all, is written, I mean, most of the books in the Old Testament are visions and messages that we received from prophets. All right. Okay. And the Old Testament says, stay away from fortune tellers, which I agree with. All right. Now, God wanted people to stay away from fortune tellers because he wanted people to come directly to him, which I agree with totally. Okay. Fortune tellers, to me, fortune tellers are people who have not taken the time to develop their psychic abilities. All right. There is a difference between a fortune teller and a, let's say, modern day prophet. Okay. Which is slash psychic. Okay. Hmm. It takes psychic abilities to be a prophet. Because a prophet slash psychic, how does a prophet get their information? It comes in the form of pictures, which is clairvoyance. It comes in the form of messages coming into your head, which is clairaudience. It comes in the form of sensing, and that's clairsentience. And it comes in the form of clairgustance, which is an odd one, but it's a psychic nose, okay? It's with our gifts of the Spirit. It's with the gifts of prophecy that we become psychic. We use our psychic abilities in order to use the gift of prophecy. Now, that's talked about a lot in the New Testament. And in the New Testament in Corinthians, it talks about the nine gifts of the Spirit. And it even says, it says in there that the gift of prophecy comes from the Holy Spirit, as do all the gifts of the Spirit. So really, I mean, I've never heard a sermon on the fact that the gift of prophecy comes from the Holy Spirit, but it says right there in Corinthians that.
But that isn't the same as speaking in tongues, is it?
No, that is different. Speaking in tongues is different. And so there is a lot of support in the New Testament for the gifts of Spirit. And it was very liberating for me to sit down and read through that book and see just what this is all about. So when people say to me now, well, how can you be a Christian and do what you do? And I say to people, no, people say to me, how can you call yourself a Christian and do what you do? And I say to people, how can you call yourself a Christian and not do what I do? Because to be a Christian is to follow your gifts of the Spirit. It's to develop your gifts. It's to understand your gifts that we are given from the Holy Spirit. And this is how God communicates to us. God communicates to us through our psychic abilities. God communicates to us through our intuition. We communicate with each other on a psychic level, which is mental telepathy, which is a form of clairaudience. So, you know, Anthony, the biggest problem that I've found is that people have these gifts, they use their gifts all the time, but they don't understand that this is what they're doing. And people will say a lot of times, well, that was a coincidence that that happened. Oh, it's always coincidence, okay? And what we need to do is get people comfortable in A, understanding what their gifts are, and then B, learning how to work with their gift of prophecy.
Because I've heard that in, I think it's the Gospel of Thomas.
Yes.
About that, if you do as I do, then you are one with me.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
About people being at one with God.
Yes,
and there's
that's
a
right.
lot of proscription or speech about warning about spiritual hubris.
Hubris? What does that mean?
Well, spiritual arrogance, saying, well, and there's been some conditioning about well, you can't say you're one with God. That would be arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. How can you possibly say you have gifts of prophecy? That's arrogant of you to say that.
Oh, that's just plain silly. It is. It's plain silly. Because
but if... so many people labor under that, though, wouldn't you say? I mean, isn't that part of what the resistance is about?
It says right in the Bible, in Corinthians, that these come from the Holy Spirit. Okay, now here's what's interesting. Is when people talk about their oneness with God, what I have found is, and I could be wrong about this, but what I have found is that people who boast about, I am one with God, I am God, they don't really get it.
I get messages from God to tell you, or...
They don't really get it yet. Because what I have found is, as I understand my oneness with God, as I pray and ask God to work through me in my work, I feel this deep sense of humility about it, okay? Almost this gratitude that's even hard to find a word for, that I get to have these feelings, have this knowing, know my oneness with God. It's not anything that I would boast about. It's something that I feel very humbled by.
And yet part of the exercise, and we're talking with you today about your new book also that's called The Key to mm-hmm. Unlock Your Psychic Abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that part of the exercise to unlock the psychic abilities is developing the ability to surrender to them?
Yes, I think surrender is a good word because, there's so much that comes to my mind as I think about, okay, unlocking your psychic abilities. First, we have to just even get away from this whole notion of negative. We need to take away, people need to, how do I want to say this? You know, okay, the picture that comes to me, and that's one of the reasons why I love this little book, is because it's got journaling and exercises in there, and spaces for journaling. People need to, if they want to unlock their psychic abilities, they need to journal. They need to write out, okay, what are my beliefs about psychic abilities? What are my feelings? What was I taught about psychic abilities? What does my religion say about these things? What does my parents say? You know, what does my church say? We need to get to, if there are some negative beliefs in there about these abilities, first we need to understand what they are. What are we bumping up against? You know what I did about 2 weeks ago, Anthony, in my psychic development class, I teach one in Minneapolis, is I had a hypnotist come in and hypnotize my students and take them back to a past life where they used their abilities before, but possibly had some kind of a negative outcome because of those abilities, because I wanted to find for them where their blocks might be coming from if they find that they have blocks in their psychic development. And it turned out really well for the students. I mean, they saw some past lives where they were hurt, you know, crucified, hung, burned because of these abilities. So,
well, we're going to have to take a break and we'll be right back and talk about some more of that. I'm Anthony Wright, and I'm your host today on Attunement, and my guest is Echo Bodine. And can you tell people how to get a hold of you, Echo?
Yes, they can go to the website, which is www.echobodine.com, and that's ECHOBODINE.com. And the telephone number is on the website. Everything's on the website.
Great. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we'll take a break, and we'll be right back. I'm Anthony Wright, and I'm your host today on Attunement, and my guest is Echo Bodine, and Echo has written a book called The Key to Unlock Your Psychic Abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And before we took a break, you were talking about journaling to discover what your beliefs, what a person's beliefs were, mm-hmm. and to unlock any blocks. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you had said that in your psychic class that you teach in Minneapolis, you had a hypnotist come in and bring people into their past lives.
Yes.
But that also says that throughout history, there's been a lot of cultural resistance to this about, mm-hmm. as you said, that one of the things that they discovered was that they had been burned at the stake,
yes.
or been,
yes.
somehow scapegoated.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
Tell us more about unlocking our blocks and discovering those. And what did your students do?
Well, what we did was the hypnotist made the suggestion that, okay, you've already lived through that persecution. You're not going to live through it again. And she made the suggestion that if there was still any hurt or pain inside from what they've gone through, that heal now. And yes, there's been a lot. And again, you know, I'm sorry to point fingers, but I have to say that religion should be accountable for this, because it's religion that teaches us that these are negative gifts, these are negative abilities. You know what, Anthony? I mean, I personally think that churches and synagogues should be teaching psychic development classes in their churches. These are gifts of the Spirit. These are spiritual gifts from the Holy Spirit. And when my students tell me that they go to their pastors and say, I have these visions and I'm going to take this class, is that okay with our church? And the pastor says, no, that's evil. I don't want you taking those. And the students come back to me and say, now I don't know what to do, because my pastor says I can't take these classes.
It's a real puzzle. How are psychic abilities construed as evil?
I totally agree with you. But people have found in Leviticus and Deuteronomy in the Old Testament that, again, when they say, don't hang out with the fortune tellers, religion has put fortune tellers and psychics in the same category, and that's not the way that it is.
And there's a difference between religion and spirituality.
Yes, there is a difference between religion and spirituality. And people need to know. People should be taught in their churches that there is a difference between fortune telling and the gift of prophecy. And people should be taught that the gift of prophecy comes from the Holy Spirit, for gosh sakes.
And everybody has a...
Yes.
As what you said, I mean, everybody has that capability.
Yes. This is how God talks to us, through our visions, through the thinking that comes in, through our sensing, through our gut. God, there's lots of ways God has to talk to us, but we are not taught that. And
do you think
wrong.
It's that the power structure of a given religion wants to usurp that power from people who follow a particular path to say, no, we're the ones who are going to tell you?
Yeah. The thought that just popped into my head right now is that a lot of the religions think that they're protecting us, because if we thought that we had power to hear God talking. Oh, okay. I just heard a thought just came into my mind right now of we see schizophrenics on TV who kill people and say, well, God told me to do that. Okay. So I think that religions use that as an excuse that, okay, well, we have to protect people from their abilities, because if they think that God is telling them to go kill someone, mm-hmm. You know, they might misinterpret their information. But that is not...
If somebody's got a problem like that, there's, you know, that's...
I think that's being irresponsible to say, well, we can't trust people that they can...
Discriminate.
That's right. Yeah. So, again, I think that this is something that should be taught. I personally think that religious leaders should be developing their own gift of prophecy, and then teaching us how we can develop ours and how we can understand these things. And the churches should be teaching us about our symbols and what it means when the deceased communicate with us. You know, I had a letter the other day, an email from a lady who said that she has a ghost in her house, but her brother is a pastor, and he told her that this is evil and that she needs to, what was it, something about she must be doing something evil to attract this evilness to her, and that her brother said that it says in the Bible that it's wrong to speak to the dead, And so she said, Echo, I don't know where to go with all of this. So I emailed her back. I said, I'm sorry, but your brother's been misinformed. I said, yes, it says in the Bible, stay away from, don't go to where, don't talk to the dead. But that means don't go to the cemetery and stand there and talk to a dead body, because that's not where they are. They are still living. Their soul is still living. You can talk to the deceased. And yes, the deceased has free will in death, just as they do in life. And they can choose to stay here if they want. And yes, you could easily have a ghost in your house. And it does not mean that anything evil is going on. Why do they always go there? It's like, come on. Talk to people. Why is religion so afraid to talk about life after death? Why are they so afraid to talk about spirits and ghosts and souls that remain earthbound? Why can't people just be taught so that they understand this thing? What is all the fear about? I don't get that. Why all the fear? Why all the fear with psychic abilities? Why all the fear about life after death? And, oh, you couldn't possibly... if you're dead, you can't possibly communicate with people. It's just silly stuff. Silly, silly, silly stuff. And it's time that they are accountable, I believe, to teach us about our spiritual gifts.
So with all of this cultural conditioning, what are some of the first steps that a person might do? Because one of the things that I'm always interested in is what's pragmatic.
Okay. All right.
What's practical?
First things first is get a journal and start writing in the journal every day, thoughts that come into your mind, pictures that come into your mind. What do you sense about things in your life?
This is different than a dream, though. And this is sort of like a waking dream journal, would you say?
Yep, it is. It is. It's a waking dream journal is exactly the way to put it. Like, for example, we go to bed at night and we say our prayers. Maybe we ask, we've got a situation at work that we need some help with. Maybe we've got a teenager that we're really concerned about. Maybe we've got a health problem that, I don't know if I should go to the doctor or not. And maybe our computer's giving us trouble. And so we go to bed and we're laying in bed and we're thinking about all these things and we're saying, God, I need your help. And the next day we wake up and there's a very strong sense inside, okay, I need to call the doctor. And we get a picture in our head about what number to push on our computer to get it fixed. And then we get a picture in our mind of a book that we need to read to help us in our relationship with our teenager. And I can't even remember the other question I had. But this is how spirit communicates to us, is through pictures and through thought and through sensing. I mean, again, these are all our spiritual gifts, and this is how God communicates to us. And so people need to write in their journal, you know, last night I was asking about the computer. I woke up this morning and it said push F5, you know, and gosh, it worked. And we have to start seeing how much we really know and how much information really comes to us.
Instead, the journal will certainly illuminate those patterns that you try to say, oh, no, I didn't think of that.
Exactly.
But wait, I'm going to go back and look at this. And, my goodness, there it was. And I did that then, and that happened then. And,
exactly.
And you can't argue with words that you have written on the page.
That's right. Yeah, Anthony. And that's what gives them... That's what gives us confidence in receiving information. It's like, holy smokes, you know, because, you know, the word coincidence, I mean, people use that thing way too much. You know, oh, that was a coincidence. Wow, I can't believe that happened. Wow, I was just thinking about you and the phone rang and it was you. Oh, I had a feeling this morning I was going to run into you. Wow, isn't that a coincidence? And then we just blow it off instead of stopping and realizing, holy smokes, I'm continually getting guidance from the universe to help me on my path. And so I think the most important thing is to get a journal, even if it's a little loose leaf notebook at the drugstore, and start writing in there every day, what do I need to know for today? At the end of the day, write in there, what did I know? What did I know? And it later on happened. You know, talk about the coincidences that happened that day. And then after 2-3 weeks, look back. And you'll be surprised how many things you knew were going to happen. You know, the other thing, too, is it's good when we get feelings. I'm thinking about 9/11 right now. I had lots of students who, 3-4 weeks up until that point, they were coming to me and saying, I had a dream about an airplane going into a building. What does that symbol mean? And I think, airplane going into a building? What in the world is that? And I said to my students, I don't know, just write it down. Maybe it'll make sense to us someday. Another student a week later, two students come up. Echo, I'm having dreams of an airplane going into a building. What does it mean? I don't know. Write it in your journal. And then, of course, when it happened, all these students came and said, Echo, I wrote this in my journal. You see? So sometimes we don't understand the visions that we're getting or the images, but we can later look back and go, oh my gosh, there's a lot of stuff that I knew. Okay? And it's good. That's what helps us to build up our confidence in our abilities.
Are you aware that there have been studies with not only remote viewing, but also telekinesis? And I'm just, it was done at the Princeton Psychic Anomalies Laboratory, and they've been doing it for probably 20 or 30 years, and have been able to correlate these trials of being able to psychically influence random number generators, for example. But there are also experiments where an image will be sent from a remote sender to a remote receiver.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes the story is told, and it's Brenda Dunn, D-U-N-N-E, and Gregory John, J-A-H-N, and they've written a book called The Margins of Reality. Okay. And they found that when people were practicing remote viewing, that sometimes they'd get their schedules mixed up, and it wouldn't matter if the person forgot
and they sent a day early
or they sent a day late.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that seems to correlate with what you're saying about what was happening with September 11th.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, yeah. So what's next after the journal?
Okay. Then I would suggest, if this is something they really want to pursue, I would suggest getting a book that helps them understand what psychic abilities are. Because, again, people, they see psychics on TV and they think, well, I don't look like that person, or, well, I never had that happen when I was a kid. And so we kind of blow it off, like, oh, I could never have those abilities. So they need to understand what their what psychic abilities are. Yeah. And then once they understand what they are, then they'll start thinking, oh, you know, yeah, I get pictures in my head. And, oh, wow, thoughts do come in my head out of nowhere sometimes, and then they end up being true. Or probably a lot of your listening audience has clairsentience, which means that they can walk into a room, they can walk into a building, and they can sense the energy in the room. They can sense what's going on with people.
And I have a sense I have to take a break here.
Okay, all right.
I'm Anthony Wright, and I'm your host today on Attunement. And my guest is Echo Bodine, and she's written a book called The Key, Unlock Your Psychic Abilities. And how can people get a hold of you, Echo?
They can go to the website, which is www.echobodine.com.
Okay, thanks very much, and we'll be right back after our break. I'm Anthony Wright, and I'm your host today on Attunement, and we're talking with my guest, Echo Bodine, who has written a book called The Key, Unlock Your Psychic Abilities. And before the break, we were talking about what the next step after journaling is, and it's about getting a book illuminating what psychic abilities are.
Yes.
And where does, in the practice of psychic abilities, where does grounding come in? And can you talk about that as the next step after you've learned about your psychic abilities, that you have them and you've journaled? Is grounding sort of the next step?
Oh, Anthony, it is so important, because I'll tell you one thing about psychics. We definitely have a reputation for being space cadets, and I definitely am in that category. Oh, my goodness, it's so easy when you're doing psychic work. When you're living in more than just this dimension, holy smokes, you can get so spacey you don't even know your name. And so it's important for very sensitive people to get outside as much as possible, feel the ground underneath their feet, because really the whole word grounding means feeling our connection with the earth. And taking a shower helps a person to feel grounded. But you don't want to just get in the shower and then just jump out. You want to get in the shower. You want to feel the water on your body. Whatever can get a person to be aware of their five senses, okay? Touch, smell, taste. Oh, dear.
Hearing, sight.
Thank you. You know, I tell my students sometimes, hey, if you're feeling really spacey, go to a movie. Go to a movie that'll get you laughing, get you crying, just get you into your senses, all right? And that really helps people to get grounded.
Go for a walk, for
that
matter.
Go for a walk, yep. Go put your hands in the dirt. You know, go get some dirt and fill up your plants with more dirt. Go outside, mow the grass, go lay on the grass, just stuff to remind you that, okay, I'm in a physical body, I live in this physical body, on this physical planet, and go do something physical, and that will help you get grounded.
Is there any kind of mental exercise that you recommend or like to...
That's a good question. Meditation might help, although that... I actually have in this book, I have a CD that has six different meditations on it, and one of them is a grounding meditation. It takes them into a forest where they visualize very tall trees and just going up and touching the trees and feeling the energy of the trees and the earth. That's very
Because I remember also reading in your book about feeling like you were growing roots into the earth.
Yes, visualizing roots coming out of your feet going down into the earth. That helps a lot too. Mm-hmm.
So now we're grounded.
Yep.
So now what?
Well, we're going to do some psychic exercises. And there's four exercises in my book, the same that I was taught by my teacher back in 1965. But they were good exercises, and it's what I've continued to teach for many, many, many years. I also have a DVD. You know what I did, Anthony, is we hired a very professional photographer, film guy, and I set up the camera as if it was a psychic development student. And I taught the camera how to develop its psychic abilities. And it's, if there's anybody out there that's thinking, yeah, you know, I do want to pursue this, what I would suggest is checking out the DVD on the website and getting a group of two or four or six people, eight, ten, and having a class every week in their home, because that's the other thing. There's so much involved in the whole area of developing these abilities. You need to, first of all, understand what the abilities are. You need to do practice, a lot of practice. And in this book or in the DVD, or I also have a book called The Gift, I have all of the exercises listed. They need to get with people that they trust, not people where their ego is going to get involved. If people practice with the whole intention, well, I'm going to show you what I can do. I'll prove to you that I have psychic abilities. As soon as they go there, they're coming from their ego, and that's going to block them. You don't want to do that when you're doing psychic work. You just want to go to that nice, sweet place and ask God or the universe to work through you, help you to be a very clear channel for information, and you need to do a lot of practice to understand the pictures that you're getting, understand the messages that are coming into your head clairaudiently. You need to learn to ground yourself. You need ethics. You need to learn boundaries so that you can set up boundaries and say no to people when you don't feel that you should give a reading to someone, or if you don't want to give a reading to someone. Ethics are very, very important, just even learning how to deliver messages to people. So there's a lot to learn about these abilities. And it's important to read up on them and have a lot of knowledge so that you don't feel like you're kind of out in the dark about, well, what am I developing?
Well, there's a complete terrain that one explores in this realm of understanding what all these a real set of skills one develops to navigate usefully and successfully. Although I'm also sensing that it's not necessarily dangerous if you go and begin to notice what you're naturally doing anyway. Mm-hmm. But what would you say about being full of care, in this arena?
You really want to, it's kind of like people take maybe one or two classes or they realize that they have psychic abilities and so they run off and buy a Ouija board and they think, well, I know everything that I need to know. And that's not the case. I mean, you don't want to mess with these abilities. You want to treat them with respect and you want to come at your psychic abilities from a spiritual place because there is this whole other dimension out there that we work with and function from. When we open up our psychic abilities, we're not just in this dimension anymore. We are functioning from the dimension where there are spirit guides, deceased loved ones. There are earthbound spirits. I don't really focus on negative spirits too much. I focus on negative personalities out there, okay? I mean, there are some earthbound spirits that aren't very nice, and they can tell by our aura if we have psychic abilities or not, and they like to mess with teenagers. I have found that out, teenage girls. Earthbound spirits seem to like to mess with teenagers who have some abilities, but they aren't developed yet. They don't really know what they're doing, and they mainly like to just mess with them just to scare them. Okay, so that's why, another thought, a picture just came into my mind. James Van Praagh has a really cool book called Beyond, or is it called Looking Beyond? And it's a guide for teenagers that have psychic abilities. And I would highly recommend it for any teenager out there that might be listening to the show right now. I mean, yes, of course, I would recommend my books, but James has a really good book for teenagers who are dealing with
that way.
Yeah, who are dealing with these abilities.
And it's James Van Praagh?
Yeah, mm-hmm. James Van Praagh. And
P-R-A-G-U-E or?
No, P-Van and then P-R-A-A-G-H.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in answer to your question, they need to understand. They need to read and understand the different levels that we're communicating with, the different dimensions. They need to be smart about this. They can't just, that's the word that comes to me. They
go
have
and play
to be
with
smart
it.
About this.
But right? That's where the integrity piece comes in.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And there's, there's lots of psychics out there that don't have integrity, could care less about integrity. They want to use their abilities to make a lot of money. There are some psychics that are very unscrupulous. But good news is there's karma. And so they'll learn their lessons also. And so for anybody out there who's thinking, yeah, I think I have psychic abilities, I would recommend getting a copy of this book or The Gift just to understand what these abilities are and start recognizing them in themselves.
And yet there's a real sense that I'm getting that acknowledging this and developing this may give a sense of validity to a whole nother part of personality that people haven't explored yet.
That's right. Yeah. Really, that's why I just feel excited about getting out there and letting people know, hey, you know what? This is a gift that you were given by God. This is a way God communicates to us. We don't have to feel so alone. We don't have to feel like we're directionless these days. We have so much help available to us, but it's a door that needs to be opened for people. They need to understand what are these things and know they're not evil and know in order to be a psychic, you don't have to look strange and odd and live in an odd house and have an odd lifestyle. All that is just media stuff. About a month ago, I got an email from a production company and they wanted to do some kind of show on TV, some kind of TV show on psychics. And the guy, one of his questions to me was, do you dress the part? And I emailed him back and said, what exactly are you talking about? And he didn't email me back. And I thought, I know exactly what he's talking about, but I want him to actually say it to me in words. And we have to get away from this idea that psychics are, I mean, Anthony, you're looking at me. Don't I look like just a regular person?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well. I mean, yeah. I don't look like, I don't have a turban on my head. No. I don't have big hoop earrings. I didn't bring in five black cats with me.
You don't have a big fur collar on. Or,
that's right, yeah. People have misconceptions, and we need to get rid of all that so people can start to identify these things within themselves.
Well, we're going to take a quick break here. I'm Anthony Wright, and my guest today is Echo Bodine, and she's written a book called The Key, Unlock Your Psychic Abilities. And can you tell us how to get in touch with you, Echo?
Yes, they can go to my website, which is www.echobodine.com, and it's ECHOBODINE.com.
Great. Well, we'll be right back. I'm Anthony Wright, and I'm your host today on Attunement. And my guest today is Echo Bodine. And Echo has written a book called The Key, Unlock Your Psychic Abilities. So when did you first start to charge money for this and make your living by it? And can you talk to us about the boundaries around that? Because you talk about that a little bit in your book.
Yes, I... like I said, I was doing mainstream jobs. I was cutting hair. I had been a chemical dependency counselor for a very short time, and I got out of it because my psychic abilities were getting stronger and stronger, and I was having a hard time knowing how to deal with it. Like, I'd be sitting with a client, they'd be telling me something, but I would see, like, things about their past or their life that they had blocked out, and it was getting hard to, it was getting harder and harder to do counseling work with people and try to maintain, boundaries. How to...
Well, there's certain stuff that is in the traditional allopathic paradigm, I guess I would say,
yes,
in terms of what a psychologist ought to be talking about and what they ought not to be talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. And so you can't sit there and listen to, or I couldn't. After a while, I couldn't listen to a client and then not start getting psychic information on them. And then I think, okay, now what am I going to do with this stuff? Because they haven't told me this. And so
you're not supposed to know it culturally.
No. And so it just got too hard. So I got out of that. And then I was cutting hair. And even then, Anthony, I would be sitting cutting somebody's hair and I'd start to get psychic information on them. If there was something going on with their health, if they needed to go see a doctor, it's like, oh my God,
how can you tell them that?
Yeah.
I mean, the hairdresser, who's this hairdresser to tell me that I've got cancer or that I have to go to, do that or do that?
Yep. And it was getting, on the one hand, it was good because I was developing a confidence in my abilities. I would do my regular work during the day, and then I would do psychic readings at night, and I didn't charge anybody. I just kept practicing, really. You know what, Anthony? I practiced on people for 12 years before I did this full-time as a profession. I just had to feel really confident about this because there is a tremendous responsibility that goes along with it. So, finally, it became so clear that it was time to do this work full time and then also start teaching people how to develop their psychic abilities. So that was back in 1979. And charging money, that I think back then I started charging $25 for a reading. And back then in 1979, that was a fair amount of money to charge for a psychic reading. And my price probably stayed the same for, a long time. The only time I ever give myself a raise is when my intuition says, okay, it's time to get a raise. And so about every 5-6 years, I'd increase my salary.
But if somebody, in your book, you talk about if somebody has developed these abilities and they want to go out, when do you make that decision? When do you start to charge and how do you tell your friends?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry I have to charge for this.
I know.
Or maybe I'm not sorry I have to charge for this.
Yeah. No, because it's a shock for your friends. It was a shock for my friends when all of a sudden, I've been practicing on them for years and suddenly I'm saying, okay, you guys, I'm going to start doing this full time as a profession. I can't practice on you guys anymore. I'm going to start charging. I remember people saying, yeah, but I used to get this for free from you. And I'd say, yeah, but the universe is telling me. And I felt it was a nudge. It was an internal knowing
in your gut
that it was time. And again, I asked God, okay, show me how much to charge. I got into my head, came the number. And so I said, okay, then that's what I'll do. And I've always lived and run my business by my internal voice, voice of intuition. So it was my intuition that told me when and how much.
So people, what do you recommend to people who want to begin to do this for a living?
I recommend to people that they practice on friends. Do not quit your job if you have taken just a short course in psychic development. You need to understand your symbols. If you're clairvoyant, you need to, first of all, even understand which of the gifts you have, then how to work with them, how to turn your abilities on and off. I recommend getting business cards and setting up boundaries with people so that when people start saying, can I just ask you one question, you can hand them a business card and say, here, call me at the office on Monday. I'm here to enjoy myself. You know, we have to set up the boundaries because people think that we are psychic 24 hours a day. People think that if I'm even standing in their vicinity that I know all of their dark secrets and that I know everything about them, which just isn't the case. Most psychics I know don't even work like that. But we have to learn how to turn it on and turn it off. And that takes time, too, to learn how to work with these abilities. You can't just do psychic readings and randomly hope that they work. It's like, no, you have to learn discipline and how to turn them on, how to turn them off, how not to be affected by the psychic work that you do. There's lots to learn.
Because that can be very draining also.
Yeah. It can be very draining. And especially for some, you know, I see some of my students who, oh my gosh, they have the biggest heart ever and they just want to help people so bad. And you think, oh my God, that person's going to burn out so fast because they want it too bad almost. They want to help too bad. And so we talk about all of that in a class. And I also have, like, in Minneapolis, people take the beginner's class and then they go on to the advanced class because, again, there's a lot of practicing that they need to do. They need to get comfortable. And, you know, okay, the thought just came to me, too. It's like, let's take a concert pianist, all right? You don't just learn the chords and then set up a national tour for yourself. It's like, oh, my, there is a lot I remember from taking piano lessons. There's a lot that you have to learn, and you have to practice all the time. And so that's what psychics in training need to do is learn the ropes before they go out and start doing this work full time as a profession. And there's a lot of responsibility. Like I tell my students, Anthony, if they did a reading for someone today and they ran into that person 25 years later, that person would be able to tell them word for word what they said to them 25 years earlier, because people hold on to every word that psychics give them and they remember everything, and it is a tremendous responsibility. And so people need to cover all their bases with it.
Well, we're almost out of time, and I want to thank you so much for talking with us. There's a couple of more things that I'd like to ask. And have you studied the work of Edgar Cayce?
I have read Edgar Cayce's stuff.
Oh, you have?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think about it, and what's going on in the world right now?
I think Edgar Cayce was a real gift for us. A lot of people have read his works, and I think he was a good role model for us. And what do I think is going on in the world right now? Well, oh boy. It's such an intense time that it's almost hard to find the words for me. I feel like the universe really has turned up the heat, and we either have to get with the program or we're out of here. And I think that's why we're seeing a lot of death, because there's a lot of souls that say, I can't do this. I can't handle the energy here. I don't want to go through this. I don't want to hear about war. I don't want to hear about all the negativity going on. I think in the next, let's see, this is 2006. I think in the next 4, 5, 6 years, there's a lot of shifting and changing that's going to be going on. And yeah, that's why I would really, really, really like to see people develop their gifts, develop a relationship with their intuition so that we can get the guidance that we need now, because I don't think it's going to stop. I think that I think the universe is kind of demanding that we take responsibility for ourselves, take responsibility for the planet. And if we're not going to do it, then we need to be on our way and make space for somebody who can come in and help get things straight. So it's a very, very intense time. And I really want everybody out there who's listening to develop. If you never do anything with your psychic abilities, that's fine. But be sure to develop a relationship with your intuition so that you have that divine guidance every day. Because we need it.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being with us.
Very welcome.
Can you tell people how to get a hold of you?
Yes, it's www.echobodine.com. And echo is spelled just like in the canyon, ECHOBODINE.com.
Thank you so much. I'm Anthony Wright, and I've been your host today on Attunement. To order CDs of this and other of my shows, please go to my website, www.attunement.biz. That's attunement.biz, B-I-Z, or call toll-free 1-877-833-6220. Again, that's 1-877-833-6220, or in the San Francisco Bay Area, call 415-721-9977. Again, 415-721-9977. This is program number 26.